This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Busy news. Nicole, there's another one of those days where we could easily, and not every day has a bountiful harvest like today, but if we had a 5 or 6 hour show, we could easily do that.
It feels very pre-election time.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything's gets really exciting.
You know what I hit up management about last week?
What's that?
If in 24, we're going to go to the conventions. Do you have any interest in that?
Oh, I think it'd be a blast.
It's fun. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know that it's fun.
It seems like things have shifted around here, though, and I don't know that that's going to be their priority.
I think it will be.
We'll make it a priority, huh?
There wasn't much of conventions in 20 because of the COVID, the worldwide epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
16, of course, was a bountiful harvest, especially for our show, especially for you, mm-hmm. as you were just starting out producing this show,
mm-hmm.
as you land the exclusive with future President Donald Trump. But it was a good team effort because at like 8 o'clock at night, I took a cab 30 miles so that I could talk up the right people that you had laid the groundwork with. And so, but that was good. That was good for the show.
It was good stuff.
Because I've gone to pretty much everyone since 04, except there was one year, I've talked about this before, where we had a program director. That's just still so stupid to even contemplate. We had a program director who didn't want us to talk much about the news.
That makes sense.
No, mm-hmm. No, we're going to do more lifestyle stuff. And it was a ratings disaster. I was miserable. We didn't go to the conventions and our ratings just tanked that summer because it was, and again, I can figure out what you, I think it was 12 because I was at the 08 when it was Obama and McCain. Where was that? Denver and St. Paul, I think. 04, I was there in Boston and New York. So yeah, it must have been 12. So that was Obama and Romney. Yeah, that wasn't much of a presidential race anyway. Maybe that didn't hurt us. But anyway, so I just wanted you to know, because I think I forgot to tell you this, mm-hmm. that I've laid the groundwork for a return to the conventions in 2 years.
I'm in. This where time I'm they? Going with you, not sitting here.
Where, I think I asked this on air a few weeks ago. Where are the 24 conventions? I think one's in Charlotte, isn't it? Conventions. Let's see here. I want to say Milwaukee. Charlotte and Milwaukee.
It looks like it's going back to Milwaukee, yeah.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
It was supposed to be there in 2020. That's where, because I had been working on a place for us to stay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then it all fell through.
Yeah, for stupid reasons. Okay, Republicans select Milwaukee, and where's the Dem? Is it Charlotte? I think it's Charlotte.
Demo. That's where it was before.
Let's see.
Okay, we need to get to some news here, speaking
yeah,
really of.
Did. I said we have too much news. I don't know. They haven't picked it yet.
Looks like Chicago.
Okay, let's get
tried.
To the news. I apologize.
Anyway, yeah, moving on. NYC in finals. So I don't know if they've decided.
They haven't picked yet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll keep everybody.
Atlanta, honest. Chicago, Houston, or New York.
Okay. Huge drug bust. And as you know, it's regularly hammer time on our show because Robert Hammer, the regional director of Homeland Security, he's nice enough. He's become a really good friend of our radio show, and he comes on with us on a fairly regular basis and tells us about many of their successes. And man, we talked to him just the middle of last week, and since then, they made another huge bust in our state. It was all up and down the West Coast. It was tied to Mexican drug cartels. And many of the people indicted and arrested are illegals. Shocking that they would pick our sanctuary state to kill people with fentanyl. But hey, Jay Inslee, call a press conference and demand that anybody who supports sanctuary at a time when the cartels are killing more young Americans than any other cause of death, denounce every politician who supports sanctuary. Go after them like you went after Smiley and Larkin and Joe Kent for their fake role in Paul Pelosi being attacked. This is something that's actually killing people in your state, Jay Inslee. Call a presser. Denounce sanctuary. Anyway, six suspects in this country illegally from Mexico. Jason Rantz got this information. It's up at mynorthwest.com. And here's the best part about this. Two of them, Jose Paleo and another one, they were deported within the last 2 months. But we have no southern border. Joe Biden's handlers have told him to erase the border. Jay Inslee's World Economic Forum overlords have told him that borders are bad, and if they are going to control a one-world government, they cannot have countries with borders. Ukraine has to have a border. Ukraine's border should be respected and defended. United States border? Nah, it's not important at all. So two of these suspects deported in the last 2 months, they walk across our wide-open southern border, they come straight up to Jay Inslee's sanctuary state, and here is what they found. 1,000 pounds of meth. I'm going to tell you something right now, Nicole. I'm whatever age I am, I keep forgetting. I haven't used 1,000 pounds of meth in my entire lifetime. And here they got 1,000 pounds of meth in just one bust. Shocking. Over 350,000 fentanyl pills. 4.5 kilos of heroin. 67 guns. Oh, I thought that Jay Inslee cared about gun violence. I know that Patty Murphy cares about gun violence. It's all she can think about besides abortions. Abortion and gun violence. Those are the two big issues for Patty Murray. But they caught guns. Doesn't matter. It's sanctuary. We got to get rid of those borders. If people are dying from drugs and if people are getting murdered in the process, it doesn't matter. They don't want Paul Pelosi getting hit in the head. But murders and overdoses in Washington, it doesn't matter. We got more important things like getting rid of countries, one world. So fentanyl's already killed 500 people in King County alone this year. And Jay Inslee does nothing about it. Never mentions it. Never talks about it. Never talks about the role of sanctuary. When we had Robert Hammer on last week, that was before this bust was announced, but he gave us just a little idea of what was going on here. Give me a rundown of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. What are these guys all about?
Yeah, they're about violence, intimidation, and making money. That's probably the three pillars of their organization. And they're about flooding this country right now with large amounts of fentanyl, empowering themselves, I would say arming themselves with lots of guns to get the job done.
And how bad has it gotten here in Washington? How are we going to stop this from coming into our country the way it
is? Yeah, it's really heartbreaking to think about all the lives across the country that are no longer with us because of this problem. And these every every life that's out there has a story behind it. And it's easy to kind of generalize all of these lives, the hundreds of thousands of lives that have been lost to fentanyl. And we're kind of numb to that right now. And I think that's a sad state where we're at, where we're kind of just saying, oh, we've lost 100,000 lives. Like, that's a lot of people. And that's bigger than most towns. And it's going to take a concerted effort, not only from law enforcement. I mean, there's an interdiction component to this. But there's a demand. There's a demand that we need to turn off within this society that is calling out, saying we will buy more of this product. The cartels will continue to find ways to get it in as long as we continue to say that we'll buy your product.
We have 40,000 homeless people in the Pacific Northwest. 40,000. Many of them, probably most of them, are drug addicts. And they have to commit crime every day so that they can pay the drug dealer, so that they can buy this junk. And Jainsley never has one word to say about this. Neither does Patty Murray. She doesn't talk about this at all because she's part of the open borders crowd. Tiffany Smiley's gone down to the border. Tiffany Smiley's more aware of this problem than Patty Murray or Jay Inslee. And you know what we should do about it? Donald Trump was right. I'll go more in depth on this probably in tomorrow's show. But Donald Trump thought that we should bomb the cartels in Mexico where they're stamping out these pills and making the drugs. And even Donald Trump's defense secretary at the time, I don't remember who it was. That's why I'm going to wait till tomorrow to go in depth, was shocked that he would suggest bombing a friendly nation like Mexico. Hey, if Mexico won't take care of the cartel problem, and if it's killing enough Americans so that we have a 9/11 every month and a half in the United States of America, that's how many people are dying from fentanyl in America. It's a 9/11 every month and a half. How many billions of dollars and how many lives did we sacrifice because of the 9/11 attack? Well, what should we do when the cartels are bombing us and killing 3,000 people with drugs every 6 weeks? The response should be massive. And I absolutely agree with Donald Trump. You talk to Mexico, tell them, if you don't take care of the problem, you know where the cartels are, you know where they're hiding out. If you don't take care of the problem, we will. But we're not going to allow operation in your country to kill 3,000 Americans every 6 weeks. But that's an America first attitude. That's an Americans first attitude. And Joe Biden doesn't even know what any of these words mean anymore. Every word he hears, it's like it was spoken by the teacher in the Charlie Brown cartoons. He can't process stuff. But Jay Inslee, his brain kind of works. He knows what we're talking about. We should go ahead and bomb the cartels. I really mean that. If we're killing 3,000 Americans every 6 weeks with this stuff. All right, up next in the – and I will have more details on that as we proceed. As you know, if you listen to the show regularly, Nicole is becoming a cat lady. She has two now.
Okay.
You're the one who says it.
I know.
I didn't.
But the way you say it.
What do you mean?
She's becoming a crazy cat lady.
I never said crazy.
But that's what it's implying.
You're the one who always uses the word crazy with cat lady.
I know.
I never do. I never have.
I know. They get too much of my attention.
I know they do. So this story really caught your eye. A van in Olympia was stolen by car thieves.
We have audio if you just want to play that and let David Rose kind of explain it.
All right. Our buddy David Rose at Fox 13.
A local man says he needs help finding his cargo van. It's actually his home, and it was stolen on Wednesday. But he's really worried about something that was inside.
That man, Nick, says Precious, his 10-year-old black cat, was inside the van while he was inside Capitol Mall for just half an hour. She is microchipped, but it seems whoever took the van found the tracker he had in the van and threw it out by the Tacoma Mall after first going to DuPont and Lacey. Lacey police say they spotted the van at one point, but the driver refused to stop. So they couldn't do anything because the changes in state law. So they had to let it go. It's this man's home, and he's worried whoever took Precious is treating her badly. So if you see the van or Precious, please call Olympia Police.
Oh, that infuriates me. If, obviously, I know more, children are more important than cats. However, there's a cat, a stolen cat in there. It's a live creature. It should be. You should be able to chase that guy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Stupid laws. Thank you, Jesse Johnson. State Rep Jesse Johnson. Great law. Way to go for the criminals. Way to bolster the thieves. Did you see that Jesse Johnson's upset at me, by the way?
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, because he took a picture when Kamala Harris, our genius vice president, was in town last week. He took a picture with her, and then he put it up on Twitter. And so I retweeted it, and I said, Representative Jesse Johnson is responsible for more death and crime than anyone in this state. But, hey, he got to take a picture with the Veep, so I guess it was all worth it. And he wrote back to me on Twitter and said, you give me far too much credit, sir. No, I don't. I give you the appropriate amount of credit, sir, that you wrote these laws. You are the sponsor of the two bills that has made this one of the most criminal-friendly states in the country. And now Precious, this guy's black cat, is lost. And she's probably freaking out.
This guy's home. I mean, probably everything he owned was in that van. Yeah. It's terrible.
How insane is our state? Are the Democrats, all the Democrats voted for this. Jay Inslee signed this. The police see a stolen van that's driving, and they try to get it to stop, and the person refuses, and the police just go, oh, just let them go. All right. Hey, Jay Inslee, call a press conference and denounce every Democrat who signed on to this bill to let the criminals just have free run. Oh, no, I'm sorry. If Paul Pelosi was in that van, then Jay Inslee would be upset. But Precious, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about kitty cats. And that is the greatest indictment of all of Jay Inslee. He hates cats. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. It's Tuesday afternoon, and that means Dave Wyman is going to drop by for a visit. We'll do it live next during the Dory Monster Show. We built this city. Starship.
Starship.
Jefferson Starship.
I think Dory got that first.
And they aren't Jefferson Starship here. They're just Starship Day.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were Jefferson Airplane, of course.
That's right.
Then they became Jefferson Starship.
What was the lead singer? What was her name?
Grace Slick.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. That's a good name. Grace Slick. Yeah. I like that. Tuesdays, when Dave Wyman drops by for his weekly visit. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Really good. Nicole told me, I talked to her shortly after the show, and she said, man, Dave was in a good mood. I saw him on my way out the building. Man, he was in a good mood. Were you in a particularly good mood yesterday?
When? Yesterday?
Yeah.
Was I leaving work? I had a good weekend, man. I had a couple buddies from college that came in, guys I played football with. Mm-hmm. And, we just kind of like instantly sort of gravitated towards each other our freshman year. Brian Morris, mm-hmm. who is a judge, he is in Butte, Montana.
Okay.
And then Kevin Scott, who's from Puyallup, he was a running back, and Butte was a fullback, and I was from Reno, so we're all kind of small town guys. And then, yeah, we just kind of have been friends ever since. And we sat around. Shannon was awesome, my wife, because she just cleaned everything and made food. And we sat around for probably 12 hours just telling stories and talking football. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That does sound like a good weekend.
Yeah.
And then you get to do the game on Sunday. So are the Seahawks, they look like they're for real.
that's the big thing that's come up. I thought before the Giants that if they beat the Giants, and they kind of smoked them. I mean, what was it? A couple touchdowns?
Yeah,
we were arguing the other day. What is a blowout in the NFL? I guess to me it's 17 points because that means you got to score three times.
Yeah,
but
I agree with that.
Well, yeah, okay, good. Well, then, yeah, they didn't quite blow them out, but they handled them. I mean, Saquon Barkley had 2.7 yards per carry. They were getting 172 yards a game on the ground, and they got like 78. So. Yeah, it's. I think they're for real. I think the quarterback is for real. I think Geno Smith. I did a little football 101 thing that we put on our website. I just filmed it today, and it's about two plays where he did not throw the ball, where he ran it, and they were both great decisions. On one play, everybody was covered, so he rightfully runs the ball, picks up 8 yards, and then sets up that fourth down conversion that they had down near the goal line where Disley gets the little shovel pass. And then at the end of the game, when Pete got penalized for running into the official, that play also, DK was wide open as you can get in the NFL. Right. He does not throw it to him. He tucks it, runs, picks up the first down. They can salt the game away. So those two plays, I thought, exemplified what he's been about this year.
It's just so weird. I talked a little bit about this with Brock last week, too. That, how old is he, 32?
Yes, just turned 32.
It's just very unusual because he was considered not a bust, but he certainly didn't live up to his expectations after being a number one pick and just kind of a journeyman, mostly backup. And it's very unusual at age 32 to bust out. I mean, why didn't somebody pull this out of him before now?
Good question. You know, this happens in baseball, but not in football. We talked about this last time, you know, that a 30-year-old, all of a sudden it might click for him, you know, but not in football. It's usually like you're 24 or 25 and you figure it out. So, and I just, he's got a cannon. He's throwing the ball better than he's ever thrown it. I think a lot of it has to do with just being in the right system and having the right support and the right guys around you and then just going, hey, you know, these are some of the things that he's doing. In the last few years, and I'm not down on Russ because he's going to come back here a conquering hero in the next decade or so when he's retired. And he's one of the, I think he's the best, you could argue, Seahawk of all time. But that was one of the things that he would not do at the, you know, at the end there, the last couple of years. He wouldn't make those kinds of decisions. There was an interception he threw in 2020, and I think this is when the whole thing began between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. He had a chance to scramble at L.A. It was the 10th, week 10, 2020. They're playing the Rams. It's, I think, third and two or second and five or something, second and five, and he chucks one into the end zone that gets picked off when he had a whole huge patch of grass in front of him that he could have had a 15-yard scramble. So
yeah, no, he's just a different guy.
Yeah. So, and, you know, he didn't want to check it down, and he wanted to throw it deep, and that's where they kind of butt heads, and I thought that's where it started.
Now, be honest. If a 28-year-old Dave Wyman was a teammate of Russell Wilson, you're trying to sleep on an 8-hour flight to London, and he goes by you doing high knee kicks or whatever it was, what would you have done?
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, I mean, if he bumps my chair, I'm probably, but I can't sleep on a plane anyway. I'd be doing them with him. Hey, Russ, can I get in on that workout? What do you got there? No, that was pretty,
I've seen
pretty strange.
You sleep on a plane.
I can't sleep on a plane.
I've got the pictures.
Yeah, I'm not in a full deep sleep.
Okay.
That's what it's a, if you will, medicated sleep. You know what I mean?
I have no idea what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, should I do this here? No, I got to save this because Nicole found something. Nicole, would you say, because I wasn't aware of this either until you found this audio. Is this the most interesting side story of the weekend right here?
Well, this is actually from a couple of weeks ago, but he just talked about it.
Oh,
so.
Now we're just, okay.
Yes, right. But it's pretty interesting.
Well, and it's also our guest, Dave Wyman's favorite topic.
Exactly. No, it's when not. I see a story it's regarding not. This topic, I think Dave immediately.
Jeez. I got to work on my image.
Oh, yeah.
Rod Stewart?
Not Rod Stewart.
This isn't pure prairie cake, is it?
No. I don't even know what that is.
Bread?
That's no. You should know this, Dave.
It's Bad Company.
Oh, there's Dory. Got it. It's Bad Company.
I don't know why. I'm just terrible, terrible block right now.
Well,
I'm in
you
a slump.
Got other things on your mind.
It's a slump.
It is a slump, but hey, Gino can come out at age 32. You can start beating me at whatever age you are. Okay, I'll take a quick time out, and then we'll get to Dave Wyman's favorite topic on the planet. Next, here on the Dory Monson Show. Zero shot at this one.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I had this CD. It's somebody I probably have already tried guessing. Stone Temple Pilots, we had that. This would be the one that I think. Yeah, I don't know. Damn it.
Yeah,
I'm really
the one
frustrated.
You guessed for Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, I said it was, this band, and it's. It's not them.
Wait.
I'm so frustrated. I just want to hear what it is. Go ahead.
Okay, it's Alice in Chains.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
No. Yeah. Dave, I'm not going to let you talk. I never let people badmouth my friends, and you're my friend, and I'm not going to let you talk about yourself that way.
All right, let's get to what is the story?
And I was kidding. This isn't your favorite topic in the world. You're much better.
Why am I associated with this? I'm being typecast.
I think of your kit in your truck.
Yeah,
I don't have that. Probably never did.
No, you said you wanted to write a book with this title. You've told us about the kit in your truck. I mean, you've earned this association.
Well, I just thought it was a fascinating topic because some people don't think it's funny.
Right.
And then there are people that have never had the problem and think it's funny, like my wife.
Yeah.
So not like, you know.
Let's let everybody in on what we're talking about. So a couple of weeks ago, we'd heard that DK Metcalf was carted off the field. And the short version of the story was he had a little tummy problem, and he was afraid that if he clenched his area, that he wouldn't make it. So he got carted to the restroom, basically.
Yeah, it was a long ways to the restroom in Detroit.
Right. Okay, so now we have found out from DK Metcalf the details of that incident.
He wanted me to do it on the sideline. I'm like, no, I got too much respect for myself. I can't do it on the sideline. And so I hopped on the cart and went to the locker room. I was actually mic'd up that game too. So this is like very.
So NFL Films has full pooping.
Yeah, they got everything.
Oh, you don't want to be mic'd up when you're doing that.
I know, that's pretty bad. Jeez.
Okay, let's break this down, first of all. Pete wanted him to do it on the sideline.
Well, did you guys, is there the story about Larry Izzo? Do you guys?
Yeah, that's okay. The next
guy. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I don't know who Larry Izzo is.
Larry Izzo was a special teams maniac. Like, he came in the league the year that I left, 96. He was a three-time Pro Bowler. I don't think he ever started a game as a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And if you look at him now, he looks like he's like 5'9", 5'10", maybe a 175. I mean, he's just, but he was just a maniac on the field. And yeah, so he was a special teams guru that played for Miami, and then I think Bill Parcells loved him and went and got him to play in New England.
Okay, so Pete related to DK Metcalf the story of this guy.
Yes, because it was like the first week of the season, our special teams coach is Larry Izzo, and he got a game ball for taking on the sideline when he was with the Patriots. So Pete was like, if Larry can do it, then you can do it. And I'm like, I'm not like Larry. I don't want to be like Larry in that aspect.
Poor Larry.
I'm going to be like Larry, just not in that aspect.
In that aspect. I got to say, man, DK, the more you get to kind of know him and the things he says, he's a very down-to-earth person.
Yeah,
he really is. Like last year, he was talking about how he was getting in fights and stuff, and you know, he said he was going to therapy to try to, you know, and he's obviously that didn't work because he was continuing to get in fights and stuff. And I really like him, but I was
we kind of saw that when he got drafted and he was sobbing, which is very sweet. It was because he wanted this so bad.
Yeah,
no, but wait, I can't go past this too far and too fast. Where would one go on the sideline?
Well, I think they have a bucket over there. But, yeah, we were just talking about the details.
Would you go to the medical tent? Would they flip up the blue medical tent?
That's right. Mm-hmm. They have the blue tent there and everything. Okay. So I don't know how you
wouldn't have clean toilet up and paper. Whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you'd have something. I'm sorry. Maybe they use towels. I don't know. But look, I got to tell this story really quick. One of the toughest dudes ever was my defensive coordinator, Tom Catlin, which I heard that as an older guy, like he was like in his 40s, he punched a fan and knocked him out. It was down in Los Angeles, the Raider fans. But he was super sick. And he was a guy that hardly showed any emotion. And he was calling the game. He's the D coordinator.
Sure.
And I guess... It happened. And so what he had was he had one of the assistants come over and tuck towels into his belt. So it looked like he was wearing like a hula dress so nobody could see it. And he sat there and called the rest of the game.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I can't leave, you know.
It smelled terrible.
He didn't even pay attention to it. He was just like, Arnie, can you bring some towels over here? He was one of these guys that, like, if he ever smiled, it looked like his face was cracked. He was one of the best coaches I've ever had. He was just a stud. He played linebacker back in the 50s and 60s and passed, you know, not pretty long time ago. But, yeah, he was just an old-school, tough guy. And that happened, and he's like, get me some towels. Well, I'm calling the game.
When you said all of a sudden it happened, that'd be a good slogan on a T-shirt. It happens.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that in Forrest Gump. he's a lead singer for...
it's not Bon Jovi. It's Guns N' Roses. No.
Who is it?
Bret Michaels, Poison.
It's Poison.
Oh, it's Poison.
Didn't your wife just go see Poison a few weeks ago?
I think so. I think they left. Because it was like a 7-hour... Yeah,
your wife's still a headbang.
She's a rocker.
Yeah. All right, you can hear Dave Wyman every afternoon on 710 Seattle Sport. Another fantastic performance, Dave. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I'm going to have to get some help for Name That Tune.
Yeah,
my co-host Bob is very into rock, and he could get these right away, so he's going to start helping me out.
Okay, maybe we'll start handicapping it sometime. Okay, I'll give you a couple strokes.
All right.
Okay, Dave Wyman, much more to come. We'll check the news and then the big lead at 2 next here on the Dory Monson Show.